That song, what a song, and how fitting a song for what we're going to be talking about this morning, that our guilt is gone. Amen. I stand redeemed. That gives me chills. Let's turn in our Bibles to John 19. Stand with me when you find that. John 19. In all of the Bible, I think that this is one of the most precious sections of the scripture. Not just because of what Jesus did and what this represents, but the implications that it has in our life as it relates to that song that was just sung. Verse 17 of John 19. John 19, verse 17, we'll read to verse 22. The Bible says, "And he, bearing his cross, went forth into a place called the place of a skull, which is called in the Hebrew Golgotha, where they crucified him." And there's a lot right there in that phrase. "And they two other with him on either side, one and Jesus in the midst. And Pilate wrote a title and put it on the cross, and the writing was, 'Jesus of Nazareth, the King of the Jews.' This title then read many of the Jews, for the place where Jesus was crucified was nigh to the city, and it was written in Hebrew and Greek and Latin. Then said the chief priests of the Jews to Pilate, 'Write not 'The King of the Jews,' but that he said, 'I am the King of the Jews.' Pilate answered, 'What I have written, I have written.'" And I also say, God affirmed. Because what Pilate wrote was true. Amen. Jesus is the King of the Jews. Amen. Father, we need you this morning. I pray your help. I pray that you'd please guide the message. I pray you'd work in our hearts, Lord. We need to hear from you. So I pray that, Lord, you would do a special work only you would get glory for. And it's in your holy name we pray. Amen. You can be seated. Thank you for standing. We often live shackled lives. What I mean by that is they're in our thoughts, in our feelings, our emotions, in our day-to-day life. We can be shackled by the memories of who we used to be. We can be shackled in the sins that have captivated our soul today. Knowing maybe we're on the wrong path, or maybe in the past we've been on the wrong path. And so because of that, we can be shackled by those. And within those shackles comes discouragement. Comes feelings of lowness, where people, they wake up and they feel like they're worthless in the hands of God. Like, what can I do for God? How can I be effective? How can I be useful to God? Because of the sins that captivate my soul, or because of the past that I've been involved with, the things that I've done or the things that I'm doing, and those shackles in the minds of people, keep them from moving forward, keep them from being useful. That happens. And there could be people in this very room who feel the guilt of those sins, who feel the memory and the nature of being shackled by those sins. Also along the way, God speaks to our hearts. And for those who've been lost and those who have been, you know, brought into bondage because of the sins, and not just the bondage of sins, but the understanding of the bondage of sins. Because sometimes people are bound in their sins, and their sins are destroying them and destroying their life and their family and all the people around them, and they don't even realize that it's their sins that are destroying them. And it might be along the way that our sins have that captivated, discouraging, and it just sucks the life out of us. And then God begins to work in us, and He speaks to us, and He reveals Himself. in our life so that he shows us that our sins is what's separating us from him. Aren't you glad for those times of conviction? Aren't you glad? And we get upset sometimes and think, man, the pastor, he's really stepping on our toes these days, you know? But aren't you glad that God speaks to you? That he hasn't given up on you? That even though you have your sins, that God still speaks to you in his mercy? That he says, yeah, your sins are bad and your sins have brought you low, but I'm still here. And I can pull you out of it. I can set you on a rock. And I can remove your sins from you. And he brings that hope to us. And we become encouraged. Why? Because we heard the gospel. We heard God. And he's showing himself to us. He's saying, I have a message for you. Won't you listen? Won't you stop being distracted? Won't you stop letting your mind run off into these other things whenever I'm trying to speak to you? And he gets our attention and he speaks to us and he offers that hope to us. And then there's a chance for freedom. There's a chance to be separated from the bondage, for the chains to be broken. And we decide one day. And by the way, the best day of your life. You say, well, you know, I remember the best day of my life. And you might have something you remember, and it was a good day. It was a good day, but it wasn't the best day of your life if you've been saved. The best day of your life is when God spoke to you, and you knew in your sins you were lost. And he's revealing to you, you can have hope. And you don't have to die lost. You don't have to die in your sins, separated from me, spending eternal damnation and eternal separation from God in the lake of fire. But you understand you can be saved. And you humble yourself and you come and you let your heart be broken and he saves you. Remember that day? Remember the day that the songwriter wrote, my chains fell off and my heart was free and I rose and I went forth and I followed thee. Because he saved you. And the freedom that's there. The freedom and the burden that's lifted and all the songs. So many songs we've sang today. Nothing but the blood. What can wash away my sins? Nothing but the blood of Jesus. And we know that we've been freed. And I think sometimes we forget how blessed we are and when we're saved. And the freedom that he gives us in him. And he's satisfied the payment for our sins. And you know, all that was satisfied in this moment in our text. All that we understand in the freedom and the chains that are broken, when you got saved, it was because of what Jesus is doing in this passage. And Jesus is dying an innocent man for the sins of somebody else. Jesus is being, he's becoming a sacrifice for what somebody else did. And that somebody else is you and me. And that's a good day when you realize that. It's a good day when you understand, whoa, he didn't just die for mankind. You know who he died for? He died for me. He died to give me a chance of everlasting life. I'm going to say again, this morning, if you need to be saved, God will speak to you. He'll convict you. He'll bring that confirmation in your soul. And you know you need to be saved because your works won't get you there. And your good deeds won't get you there. Praying the prayer over and over every night, God save me, God save me. It won't get you there. Why? Because it requires a broken heart. And so this morning, it might be that God is working in you again and you can come and you can get it settled. And nobody's going to pull you to the front. Nobody's going to make you do it. You have to make that decision on your own. But you have that chance this morning and you can come and you can get it settled. And here's why. Because Jesus went to the cross. Because Jesus went to pay a penalty that he didn't deserve. But he did it to pay and satisfy a judgment that we deserved. Look at our passage again, verse 17. It says, and he bearing his cross went forth unto a place called the place of the skull. Look at verse 18, where they crucified him. They crucified him. Jesus is being judged guilty when he was innocent. Pilate had already said multiple times in our previous passage that he found no fault in this man. And so he was innocent. He had done nothing wrong. And yet he's going to the cross. He's being judged. And the reason he's doing this is to satisfy or to pay for our sins. And we know that. And we've said that. It says here that they crucified him. He's bearing his cross. Before they go to crucify him, it says he's bearing his cross, meaning this was a common thing that the Romans did. They caused those that are going to suffer the penalty, the criminals who would suffer the penalty of being crucified would actually carry their cross as part of their penalty. As part of the suffering, they would carry their cross to the place of crucifixion. Jesus would have carried his cross. When he got to the place, the cross would have been laid down. Jesus would have been placed on the cross. His arms would have been extended. And it would have been in that time, laying on his back, that they nailed his hands to the cross, and they also nailed his feet to the cross. Then after nailing him to the cross, they would have lifted the cross, hoisted it up, and placed it in its place. And Jesus would have there hung. And he hung there, being crucified, dying, with two men on each side of him. The Bible says he was an innocent man, and it's clear to see that Jesus was dying an innocent man. But then the Bible says that on both sides of him, there were two others, one on each side. These were criminals. They were robbers, as Matthew tells us. You know what's amazing about these men that are being crucified on each side of Jesus is not only were they deserving of this, of this punishment, but it's a picture of you and me. It's a picture of mankind being on each side or surrounding Jesus, Jesus in the middle, dying for the sins of all those that are around him. The guiltless dying for the guilty. That's what it shows. Verse 19, the Bible says, Pilate wrote a title and put it on the cross. The title he wrote was Jesus of Nazareth, the King of the Jews. It was common that they would put this title there. The reason why is because in verse 20 it says, many of the Jews. That would have been the point of it. So that those in a public place where he would have been would walk by and they would see the crime, which was what the title represented, a crime. And each one of the criminals would have a crime written. And that crime would have been why they were being crucified. Jesus' crime was that he was the King of the Jews. That's what Pilate wrote. It would have been so that any of the other passers-by would have seen the crime and they would have decided, I don't want to commit that crime. And I don't want that end to happen to me. It says that it was written in Hebrew and Latin and in Greek, three languages that represented the culture of the day. Common language in Judea would have been the Hebrew or the Aramaic. And the Greek would have been the native language of the empire. Latin would have been the language of the soldiers. So literally, the three languages is like the two men on the cross on each side. It's as though God says, the King of the Jews, to every nation, to every tribe, to every people. And the message is available. It's why we need to continue to preach this message. It's why you and I need to have a burden to get as many people at church as possible. What we're talking about this morning, this is what it's all about. This is like what we're doing, this is what it's all about. The burden that God needs to put in our heart is because Jesus died to pay for our sins. So when the Bible says that if we should confess with our mouth the Lord Jesus, what's it talking about? By the way, a confession that leads us to salvation, an admittance of guilt, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. And you understand, I need to be saved, and I cannot save myself. Mankind needs to hear this message. People are hopelessly lost all around us, and they need an invitation from you and from me to come to this place to hear the message of the gospel. That Jesus died on the cross to pay for their sins. And if you pay for your sins, you'll be like one of those men on each side of Jesus. You'll pay for your sins for all of eternity. So, verse number 21, the Bible says, then said the chief priests of the Jews to Pilate, write not the King of the Jews, but that he said, I'm the King of the Jews. It's amazing that the Pilate wrote what he wrote, and then the Jews who are offended at Jesus and the ones who brought the indictment against him and the reason why he is on the cross in the first place are the ones that are standing now in front of Pilate saying, arguing for him to change what Pilate wrote the crime was. the crime that he wrote was that Jesus was the King of the Jews. Note this, Pilate stated it as a fact. Why is he being crucified? Why? He's the King of the Jews. The Jews didn't like that. They didn't want it stated as a fact. They wanted it stated that he had claimed to be the King of the Jews, not that he was the King of the Jews. Now, let's not act like Pilate here is doing this because he wants the truth to go out. Pilate doesn't believe that Jesus is the King of the Jews. He's doing this to poke revenge towards the Jews who manipulated him into doing this in the first place. He didn't want to have Jesus crucified. He didn't see that he was guilty to be crucified. He wanted him to be freed. But they threatened Pilate. And Pilate, by way of getting back at the Jews, wrote this to poke at them, saying, "Oh, the Jews, you want him crucified? Well, here's what you're doing. You're crucifying your own king." And so what Pilate was doing to get revenge and to bring malice towards the Jews actually was used of God to speak the truth, because Jesus was in fact the King of the Jews. It's so pretty amazing, isn't it? And what Pilate was meaning to do, God actually used it. It reminds us of all the other times, even in our life, when things happen and God ends up using it. And we have terrible things at times that happen, and even terrible things that we've done. And then we seek the Lord and get our hearts right with Him. And it's amazing how God can even use those things to bring good. Pilate says in verse 22, I have written. He's not going to change it. And we know why. It's not because he believes it's true. But he wants the Jews to be humiliated like he was. It's amazing, though, the truth that Jesus was the King of the Jews went against what the disciples and the Jews thought the Messiah would be. Think about that with me. You see, the disciples and the Jews, they both thought that the Messiah would be the conquering king. Jesus is the king. But we thought that he would come and establish his kingdom, that he would throw off the Roman Empire, and that now it would be established. But now Jesus is hanging on the cross. And this goes against what we thought. Why would our Messiah be on the cross? If he's the king, why is he suffering? Because he didn't come to be the conquering king. He came to be the suffering Savior. The one who would be guiltless and pay for the sins of mankind, to pay for the guilt of somebody else, which is us. So the guiltless died for the guilty. You and I are the guilty ones. Amen. We're the ones who deserve to be separated from God and judged. But yet he died to pay our guilt. He satisfied it. Like we said in the earlier parts of the message, God works in us and he speaks to us, and what he wants to do is to bring a freedom in our soul. He wants to save us. He wants to save you if you're lost. That's what he wants to do. And so he speaks to you in a small voice, in a tender way, he speaks to you. And he calls you to salvation. You know, he, through the work of the gospel in your soul, he wants to bring you that freedom. He wants the chains to be broken. He wants you to have that. And this morning, that's a decision that you have to make. That you would decide, okay, I realize I'm lost. I see I need to be saved. And through that conviction, I know God can save me. And if I submit myself to him, I can get saved this morning. You know, and then the burden is lifted. And there's freedom in our soul, you see. It's satisfied in Christ. The chains are broken. Why is this important? Because there's lost people this morning that are here. There's somebody here who's lost. Now, for me to say that, I'm not the Lord, but I would guess that there's somebody here who's lost. And that probably God is working in your heart, or he's been working in your heart, or maybe today, even right now, he's working in your heart. And he's telling you, you need to be saved. He's telling you, if you'll let your heart be broken, the guilt can be satisfied in him, because he died to pay for your sins. But you have to come. You have to decide, I'm going to submit myself to him. And that's a freeing thing. I guess my burden this morning is for those of you who need that. And maybe you know you need to be saved, and you're fighting to submit yourself to him, that you would stop fighting him this morning. That you would stop arguing with what God is trying to convince you of. That you would come and get it settled. Remember, I knew I needed to be saved. And when he said, would you lift your hand if you need to be saved? And I raised my hand. And you know, when I raised my hand, what's amazing about that is in what was happening in my heart. Now, I'd been in church riding the bus since I was in third grade. I remember when Miss Donna knocked on the door, and she said to my stepmom, and I was in third grade, she said, is there any kids here that would like to ride the bus to church? And my stepmom, she said, absolutely. And the next day, I started riding the bus to church. And I loved the puppet shows and the candy. But I wasn't convicted until I was 13 years old. And I'm sitting in youth class, and the preacher's preaching a gospel message like this one. And God speaks to my heart, because he talks about guilt and he talks about sins. And you know what I realized? I'm guilty. My friends would say, hey, why don't you go into the gas station and steal candy? So I got good at it. I would go into the gas station and I would steal a lot of candy. And then I would meet my friends. It's amazing, they talked me into it, but they wouldn't do it. And we would meet in the creek area and we would divide it up. So I'm sitting in church and he's preaching about sins. And God's saying, oh yeah, I remember you're a sinner. And I knew I was a sinner. I knew I was lost. And that was a tip of the iceberg of what my sins were. And so when I raised my hand, God was working in my heart. That might be you today. It might be, if I was to say, and I'm not yet ready. You're like, are we almost ready? No, not ready yet. But if I was to have every head bowed right now, and I was to say, raise your hand if you don't know for sure if you're saved. Like, if you were to die today, are you willing to admit that you're a sinner and that you're guilty? And that because of that, you're separated from God and you cannot work your way into heaven? And beginning to understand that, and you're starting to get convicted that when your head is bowed and God is working in your heart, that you, if you were honest, you would have to raise your hand. You might not raise your hand, but if you were honest, you would have to. Like, well, I don't want pastor to know, or I don't want somebody else to know, because you know, people, when pastor says, bow your head and close your eyes, people are looking. And so you won't raise your hand, but if you were honest, you would. What's happening in your soul is God is saying you need to be saved. Yeah. He's calling you. He's saying, I went to the cross. And I paid for your sins. Right. When I did this, I took your guilt on me, so you don't have to die guilty. Right. Would you admit that? Yeah. And in your heart, you know, I need to be saved. You know, I didn't get saved in that moment. I didn't. Somebody took me into another room, and he encouraged me to pray and to ask the Lord to save me. And I did pray, but in my soul, I knew I wasn't really turning my heart to him. And it would have been a few nights later, laying in bed, and I couldn't sleep. And And I knew I was lost. And friend, I didn't want my house to burn down and me die in it, because I knew I wouldn't be saved. I knew I would be separated from God. I knew I was going to be in hell, because I knew I deserved it, and I knew I was a sinner, and I didn't want that. And so I remembered looking to the ceiling while laying in my bed, and I could take you right to the spot. And as I'm looking at the ceiling, I begin to pray, and I don't remember what I prayed, but I asked the Lord to forgive me and to save me. And right after I did that, I changed my radio station. It was almost like God is saying, oh yeah, you're going to turn your heart to me. You need to change some things about your life as a result of that. We don't change our life to get saved, but once we turn our heart to Him, He begins to change us. And you know what's amazing? It might be that God's doing that in you. If you're willing to admit it and you'll lift your hand, I'll pray for you. But if you want to be saved, you have to. It has to be a decision you make. Even if I compelled you to come to the altar, if your prayer to the Lord isn't coming from your heart straight to the Lord, then it's not doing anything for you. And so, you know, Pastor, I need to be saved. I know it. I know I'm lost. I'm guilty. And we come and we get it settled. You know the burden that's lifted? It's like what we started off talking about. It's amazing, isn't it? You're like, why did I wait so long to do that? Why did I wait so long? I mean, it's settled. It's done. My sins are forgiven. My sins are washed away by the blood of Christ. So that in the eyes of God, I stand redeemed. Praise His name. But that the devil comes back. Once you've been saved, the devil, he doesn't want to leave you alone, does he? He comes and he whispers in your ear, oh yeah, but don't you remember what you did? Don't you remember that sin that you committed? Don't you remember what you did back here? And so the memory of who we used to be keeps coming back to our minds. And he does that because he wants to keep us from being useful to God. And you start remembering who you used to be, and you get discouraged. You think, well, I don't think God can use me. I don't think that I'm really qualified. Pastor, do you know what I've done, or do you know what I've been involved with? The devil whispers in your ear, you can't. And you know, he renders so many people ineffective because they live in guilt. Amen. You might be saved this morning, and God removed the guilt because He took your guilt on the cross, and you turned your heart to Him, and He removed it. And yet, we live defeated lives sometimes because of who we were and who we used to be. And it might be that God wants to remind you this morning of what He did for you when He died on the cross. And He died to pay for your guilt. My sins are gone. Did you know the Bible says in Psalms, one of my favorite Psalms, 103, listen to this. As the heaven is above the earth, so much is God's mercy towards them that fear Him. Can you comprehend that? Did you know that the scientists don't know how many stars there are? Did you know you could Google that? Did you know that the scientists also don't know where the universe ends? Because every time we think we found the end, Then we realize, oh, that wasn't the end. But yet God says, the heavens, as high as they are, which we can't comprehend, my mercy in your life is more than that. So when you turn your heart to Him, and He says, I paid for your sins. I paid for them. He's saying, I paid for all of them. All of your sins are forgiven. And my mercy is greater than as far as the heavens are from the earth. And your sins. How about your sins? Remember your sins? Oh, the devil, he wants you to remember. Hey, remember what you did? Remember what you did? He's going to remind you. He's going to whisper, you remember what you did? You remember? And he wants to render you ineffective. He wants you to quit this. He doesn't want you to grow. He doesn't want you to move forward. So he's going to come to you. Remember what you did? Remember what you said? Remember what you were involved with? Remember what you did yesterday? Like, well, wait a second. I thought we were talking about the past. Yeah. Yesterday was the past. Remember what you did yesterday? And the devil wants to remind you, remember what you did? How could you serve God? You can't serve God. You want to be a pastor one day? You can't be a pastor. You know what you did? You know what you did? I know what these guys did. You know what you did? The devil wants to whisper in your ear because he doesn't want you. Listen, friends, this is helpful. God wants to remind you of his mercy. The devil wants to whisper in your ear. He wants you to feel guilty. He wants you to remember what you did so you'll be ineffective for the future for God. But God says his mercy is far extending from the heavens to the earth. But then he said this in the very next verse, as far as the east is from the west. Ooh, not north to the south, the east from the west, which never meet. You go east, you'll always go east. You go west, you'll always go west. And God says, your sins are going to start going east, and your sins are going to start going west, and they're never going to meet. God doesn't remember your sins. You know what that means? You're not guilty. Like, but don't you remember what you did? Well, wait a second. Jesus paid for my sins, and so I'm not guilty. I remember when I was in college, I did a speech, and speech class is like one of the worst classes in the whole world, okay? You know, even when you're trying to learn how to be a pastor, it's just the worst. And I remember it in speech class, I gave a speech, and I really feel like this is one of the worst days of my whole life. It was so embarrassing and bad. This is almost funny for me to say, I think, in this context, that when I remember, because I still have friends that were in that class, that are my friends even still today in the ministry, that I remember, when I remember that speech, I get embarrassed again. And I get discouraged again. It's almost like it brings me down, just thinking about it. And it's like, strategic times, the devil just brings that one memory back to me. Oh, but don't you remember this? And how embarrassing that was? Yeah. The devil wants to do that in your life. So that you have a past, and you have things that you've done, and he wants to keep bringing those back to render you ineffective for God. But here's what God says. Your guilt is gone. And so we trust him that he removed our guilt. Say, I really messed up, Pastor. I really messed up. Yeah, I think we all have done that. You know? Well, I remember when I asked him to forgive me. And he spoke to my heart and I went to the altar, you know, because he was working in me. And I asked him to forgive me, you know. And the Bible says that he's faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. And in that moment, he takes your sins and he casts it as far as the east is from the west. Isn't it amazing that even a sin that you did yesterday, God doesn't remember it? Amen. If you got your heart right with him. The devil wants you to remember it. And our flesh will continue to bring it up. But here's what God says. Your guilt is gone. And so what do? We embrace that truth by faith. We trust God, and we let him work in us. Let him work in us. I want to say this morning as we finish that it might be that God is working in your heart in the area of salvation so you know you need to be saved. Let me encourage you to come and get it settled. And it might be that you've allowed memories of your past to render you ineffective And God wants to remind you this morning that your guilt is gone. Just move forward with Him. Let Him use you and work in you. And when those memories come back, start singing this. What can wash away my sins? Nothing but the blood of Jesus. You know, the devil hates to hear about the blood. Why? Because it washes away our sins. There's no more guilt. So you don't have to live in guilt. When He went to the cross, He paid for it. We just need to walk with Him.